Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Zach, and welcome to the up-and-coming youngster, Monroe Clark.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, man, it is 5 o'clock, 5:01 to be exact. It's Dukes and Bell with Willie P. Willie Pelagic is in for Carl today. And I am Monroe Clark. That was what we were talking earlier if you missed last segment about great names or from obscure movies, I should say. Some funny names for characters. Hey, man, let's start the 5 o'clock hour with a big hearty, hey, man. Hope you guys are having a great day. A little chilly out there, but sunshine in the A, which is nice. And we're going to be heading up to Nashville. You've heard all the promos. Very excited about kicking off the MLS season. We'll tell you what the Braves are doing today in spring training action. Not even March, but some things to like and some things to go, meh, about a couple of the guys we'll tell you about. And, of course, the NFL. Combine's front and center. Taking a look at dudes running around in their shorts and muscle shirts and what's going to look good or who's going to look good in a Falcon uniform and what's the latest on the NFL CBA. That's all coming up as we've got players not just saying no, but hell no. And you'll hear that coming up as part of our strong arm story at 5:20. All right, brother, you and I have been looking at tight ends. A couple of Falcon fans have been hitting us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line saying, hey, slow your roll on drafting a tight end. We've got a guy who's ready to roll. All right, Jaden Graham. We do set the record in the NFL for having backups from Yale. We got Foye Aluakin, and we've got Jaden. I didn't see enough of him last year. I know statistically he did get on the field. He had 9 receptions for 149 yards and 1 touchdown. Okay, you're gonna. He'll be getting a shot to win a tight end job, but there are some other athletes to look at. Tight end, as we said, with Austin Hooper, kind of a luxury item with all the other things we got to do. You've got to be able to protect Matt Ryan. Will got to be able to run the football. So first things first, I've got to either do it through free agency or through the draft. I've got to beef up this O-line.
He had the one game. I believe it was the Tampa Bay game, the first one where he had that big long 53-yard catch that set up a touchdown. It was the one catch he had in that game, and he's somebody who. Again, he has some speed. The biggest question is, can he be an every down tight end blocker? I mean, I feel like, you know, you want somebody who can block like Stocker and catch like Hooper. You really don't have one guy who can do both. So I feel like you might see some multiple tight end personnel sets because of the fact that you're just not going to have the guy like Hooper. And again, we're not trying to sit here and say that Hooper is not worth bringing back. It's just where the cap is for the Falcons. It's just not feasible given all the other needs, i.e. edge rusher, left guard, running back, and other things you need to fill on this team before you think about bringing in a guy who is going to command the type of money that Austin Hooper does.
Now, the Falcons talked with Kayvon Chaisson. He met with the Falcons. He added how the city of Atlanta has been good to him, his experience in LSU, obviously winning an SEC championship, and certainly he knows how to get the job done at the Mercedes-Benz, at least from this year. He says that, and I love this, he goes, hey, man, I'm the most valuable player in the draft. He goes, he likened his skill set to speaking 3 languages as opposed to being a one-trick pony on defense. Well, we do like multiplicity or cross-training in our athletes. Chaisson's a guy that will certainly, I would imagine, be there at 16 when the Falcons are selecting. Chase Young is not doing the workouts we talked about. That's his prerogative. All the big dogs aren't. They'll just do it at their pro days this year.
Yeah, Chaisson and Epineza seem to be the two most desired guys. But remember when we were talking with the Orlando Ledbetter, who covers the Falcons for the AJC yesterday, it seems like the Falcons are going to have to overdraft at 16 because that 16th overall pick is not going to be equal value to what you're going to get out of a guy like Chase. I mean, a lot of times teams love to draft best available athlete in the first round, somebody who's going to be a starter for your team regardless of the position when they step on the field for the first time. I don't know if either of those guys are that guy for the Falcons because of the fact that you're not necessarily looking at guys who are going to come in with ready moves, patented moves, to be able to be that type of guy who can replace what Vic Beasley didn't bring for you last year.
You know, I like the idea of going – I mean, I don't like the idea. I mean, I wish we could move up and either – if you move up to get Chase Young, you're depriving yourself of the other needs you've got to address. So everybody who wants us to do that Julio Jones 2011 thing where you swing for the fences and move all the way up, you'd have to move up to two.
Right.
You know, and that you've basically just forfeited your entire draft class. See, there's two ways of looking at it. I mean, if you feel that, like, you're Thomas Dimitroff and you're Dan Quinn, you're under contract technically for, what, another 2 years?
Yes.
So you could argue that, well, you know, this is my chance to swing for the fences, go get the guy. And, you know, or do you say, I've got to try to make some good decisions. And as Arthur Blank, we joke around, not that Arthur actually literally tells these guys, all right, you knuckleheads, I need four starters this year. But if he did say at 16, that's what they got. But I just, philosophically, I feel that, you know, Chase Young is the one guy everybody wants. Everybody wants a Bosa. Everybody wants a Watt in his prime. You know, that guy, that difference maker. We haven't had that. But I honestly, brother, if we're going to go defensive end in the first round, I just don't trust Dan Quinn, whose background is defensive line, because the Tack McKinley thing is a bust, and he signed off on Vic Beasley for another year. I mean, he's supposed to be a talent evaluator at that position. I don't trust him.
Would you get rid of your first this year, one of your twos, and the first next year to go up and get Chase Young? Because I think that might be what it would cost.
I mean, everybody out there would, but then how do – see, this is the thing. How do we address offensive line? We don't have enough money in free agency. What, we're going to go get another Brown or Carpenter? We're going to throw more money at guys that are substandard, that aren't even, like, you know, starting caliber? To me, I've got to commit one of my second-round picks. If you could hold on to one of your second-round picks and commit to a – no, I've been saying Solomon Kinley. For all we know, he could be gone. Who knows where the draft's going to go? But I've got to get a starting guard. I mean, I want a young, big stud between Jake Matthews and Alex Mack, because Jake, let's be honest, he's solid but not spectacular. And Alex is getting older. We got to beef up that position. Lindstrom healthy, and hopefully McGarry with Lindstrom will be better next year on the right. And then we can hopefully start running the damn football.
Guy that I was thinking of earlier from Mississippi State, Tyree Phillips, guy out of Alabama. He's somebody who, 315-pound guy, 6'6", could play guard or tackle, but I think you'd want him to slot in at that left guard position. Somebody you might be able to get in the second or third round, possibly, depending on where he falls to. And that's the biggest thing, I think, that you have to wonder about. Okay, where are the priorities? Where is the glut of players? You don't have a very heavy line draft. You have a lot of top-heavy talent, guys like Andrew Thomas, but you don't have those guys kind of in that second and third round who could still be starters. So you have to really be very careful with how you go about approaching this draft. That's the real issue for the Falcons, is that the guys who are basically the places where all the positions are things the Falcons already have. They already have wide receivers. They need a running back, but you don't want to necessarily overspend for a running back, especially if you don't have the offensive line intact.
Yeah, and I'll give, I say every time we mention running backs, this group has always been good, this personnel group, talking about Dimitroff and company, and getting a running back in the middle rounds. We've done that with Free. We've done that with Tevin Coleman. And there's enough talent. There's enough guys you'd recognize from the big boy schools that are going to be out there in the third round. And or maybe there'll be a big stud if you want to go late second round. But, and it's interesting because we've had a bunch of guys say, it's got to be Chase Young. It's got to. Yeah, that's a hell of a risky proposition. Then I'm going to have to try to spackle some line together with some free agent wash-up, which we've been trying the last couple of years. The only time it worked was 16. You know, 16 was the year it worked. We had a guy stay healthy for all the games. It was a cohesive unit, and we ran the football. We protected Matt Ryan. Ryan's been sacked nearly 100 times in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, so what's the point of having all your salary cap so jammed up with Julio and Matt, and you got an offensive line that can't protect your QB, your biggest investment?
It is our Falcon Report, guys, here on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, brought to you by
Domino's, a large three-topping pizza, $7.99. Don't forget the tracker, man. Make sure you know where your pie is at all times. Whether you're going carry out or take home, there's all sorts of great deals, including some medium two toppings for $5.99. Get all the information at Domino's.com.
Devondre Campbell was quoted in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution today by saying, we will continue to have good communication with the Falcons throughout the process of free agency. Of course, his agent is Drew Rosenhaus. He was basically speaking to the AJC on Wednesday. And that's the point, I think, that people are looking at. It's like, if there's one guy among these departing free agents, whether it's Hooper, whether it's Wes Schweitzer, who I don't think anybody really wants to see back here, you think the guy might be Devondre Campbell because of his ability to kind of be piecemeal on that defense. He can play multiple positions. He's not as great in pass coverage as you'd want to be, but he's somebody who can be a run stuffer, and that's something that at times you had trouble with last year.
Yeah, there's a couple of defensive tackles. I know that's certainly not sexy because everybody wants edge rusher, but you know, you've got to beef it up unless you feel that, you know, Tyler Davison or the guys. I mean, this was the conversation which got everybody fired up 2 weeks ago when I was going. Carl kept throwing all the names of our defensive line depth, and I'm like, oh, I've heard this name before. It was like the Legion of Meth, we called it. So I just don't know if you want to try to get an upgrade and go defensive tackle in the first round. Can you get, if you could get D-tackle, edge rusher, offensive line in your first three picks, including those two in the second round, I'd call that a productive draft. If you get the right guys.
If Kinlaw is there at 16, I'd take him. But I don't know if he's going to be there at 16.
Because Kinlaw, apparently he was just freakish at the Senior Bowl, and that's where he really opened a lot of eyes. And again, it was a bad year for South Carolina, but he's a dude that a lot of people are talking about, and it fits what we do.
He's a guy who came into South Carolina weighing like 340 pounds. He slimmed all the way down to 305. He got moves. They basically took him inside. They moved, used him outside as well. He can play like that technique kind of on the inside shade of an offensive tackle. So not necessarily as far out as Vic did, but somebody who can play that spot next to Grady and have the kind of agility next to him where you can have a force. And I think if you were able to get him and one of the two guys, Chaisson and or Epineza, then I think you've got something there with a reimagined defensive line, because you're going to lose Davison this year also. He's one of those free agents as well.
Right.
And that's the part of it that I think if you're the Falcons and you're trying to remake this defensive line, that would be the best mode of operation. It's just a matter of whether or not those high-end defensive ends outside of Chase Young are available when you get to that spot in the second round.
I mean, if you look at A.J. Epinesa, yeah, we've been talking about him a lot, because if you're reading the same mock drafts, we're looking at that he's there at 16. And they say at CBS Sports, even if Espinosa isn't a freak at the combine, Dan Quinn will love his ability to win with power on the inside and pass rushing moves around the corner. He does look physically like a big stud, but it doesn't really get to that fired up. Chaisson, if you know LSU, I think the fear there is you got another Vic Beasley because he's too light in the dumper. You know, and that would be like, if you go back and this, if you rewind it back to 15, there were so many people that said, oh, we got to get Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley's not the slam dunk anymore because of the arthritic knee. Mm-hmm. He's on a pitch count with the Rams. So the argument there isn't so bad. If you go back and, like, what do we need right now? Number one need is edge rusher. Number one need that year was edge rusher. Vic Beasley checked off all the boxes. He had over 30 sacks. He had tackles for loss. He had big impact plays at Clemson on a good football team. And then he got here, and it is what it is. Save for the 1 year when we had Dwight Freeney on the opposite side, it was a whole lot of nothing.
Another thing that we brought up yesterday that you have to factor in as well, the fact that you might not have Tack McKinley be on this upcoming year because of the fact that right now there's a debate about whether or not they're going to pick up his fifth-year option. It was something that was said, and I think you and I would both agree, was mismanaged the other day by the Falcons when you said, we're not going to pick it up, or we might, or we're still deciding. And I think that part of it, when you discern what the best move is for the Falcons, I think you do have to kind of swing for the fences if you're these two guys, because I don't think anything beyond this year is guaranteed for Dan or Thomas. I think you have to make some of these moves that, you know what, to heck with the future, we need to win now.
Yeah, and this goes back to, you know, the big picture and Arthur bringing back the regime. Not just Dan Quinn, but Thomas Dimitroff. As we said, we're under contract. They gave him the extension. They're tied together. But, I mean, this is the question. Do you want the same guy? Well, it's a moot point. They're picking him. But that was my argument throughout the season, throughout the losing streak. Why don't we move on, get a fresh set of eyes on the problem, or are we just going to simply squander another year of Matt and Julio in their prime? So this is why, I mean, and I got to be honest with you. You know, nobody thinks we've got a shot this year.
No.
I mean, and you can say as a Falcon fan, like, hope springs eternal. I know what we can do. I know when we can score points. In 16, with all those rookies on defense, we won by outscoring. So as much as we want to get the big guy like Chase Young or this or that, shore up the offense, score some more points, and get by. That was the business model that almost won us a championship in 16.
It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, Hawks fans, join us for HBCU night coming up on Saturday as the Hawks take on the Trailblazers. You can get your tickets online at hawks.com/tickets.
It's our Kia Studios, and you can check us out, by the way, at Watch 92.9 The Game. Go to 92.9thegame.com and check out all the cool stuff going on. Details on our trip to Nashville, where you can join us. We'll be over there at the Tailgate Brewery in Music Row. This hour of the show brought to you by Kia. Go to KiaDealers.com. When we come back, Will, big story today is owners and players. Owners are ready to do the deal. Some players are, but some players are definitely not ready to sign on the line.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
Remember, guys, if you're headed up to Nashville and you need some extra refreshments on your way up there for the game this weekend, stop by your local package store and get a next six-pack of Hey Man.
Hey, thanks for the plug, tough guy. Yeah, man, Hey Man Ale with our new critter-friendly red can tops as part of the six-pack holder.
OconeeBrewing.com/Hey Man to find out where it all is bought and sold, if you will. This is something from the Dallas Mavericks folks. Remember that little deal they were trying to protest the other night, that goaltending call from the game on Saturday? The Mavs and Hawks have until midnight Monday to submit their evidence to the league for Adam Silver. As of yet, that has not happened. After those submissions, the clock starts ticking on whether Adam Silver will decide whether or not to replay the final 10 seconds of that game that, of course, had that goaltend that wasn't called on the Collins putback.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Mark Cuban, I'm usually in agreement with him about how bad the NBA officiating is, but those two-minute reports are such a waste of time because you never do anything with them anyway, and there's going to be no reason for them to do anything about this one either.
And I have no sympathy for them because they load-managed their way through that game.
Yeah, we didn't see any of the starters. You're right, man. Doncic didn't start. Kristaps Porzingis didn't play, so that's what you get, Sparky, for your load management. I know we're a team that's, like, record-wise one of the worst in the East, but still, I mean, that's an argument for another day, something the NBA is going to have to address. I don't know how you do that with their current union situation about making the players, only star players, rest mostly at home. You know, at least, you know, if you're a West Coast team, we say it all the time, you get one chance to see these guys. One.
Strong-arm story of the day involves the NFL and its constant battle between the owners and the players with the CBA. Marquise Pouncey among those most angry about the CBA and how, quote, unfair it is to players who make a certain amount.
Man, it's so crazy, man. I vote no. That our NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, that they ain't looking out for the best of the players. And if y'all want my vote, the Pouncey twins vote no. And if any player on any one of our teams, if y'all heard for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team, stand the up. Stand up. Show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a deal just so the sitting the president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't getting done.
Again, that's Marquise Pouncey. No shirt on, by the way, as he's rolling in his 2.0 or 5.0 or whatever he's rolling with, having some fun, talking about, you know, the fact is you got a deal, but it's the first offer. And there are some things in there that make some sense. You're going to give some relief to guys in their fifth-year deal. That fifth-year option now can mean more money for guys that are outperforming their contract. So if Vic was a pro bowler every year and had something like, you know, 10 sacks a year, Vic could have gotten the top five, almost like the franchise tag number, for the fifth-year option. So there are some things that make sense. There's also a chance for that 17th game to help out with players after football life, pensions, medical care, things like that. But it's also kind of short-sighted, if you ask me, because you're not making enough off that next game. And the other thing is, bro, who says yes to the first deal? Mm-hmm. I'll just use the analogy again. Let's just say you got your house for sale. The realtor shows up and goes, the Smiths have offered $375,000. Deal. Well, deal me in. I'll sign right there. Woo! Take it. Cash money. No, it's not cash. Oh, what? No, you kick. You go high, they go low, you do the deal. Same thing applies at a car dealership. And my manager says that's the price. Okay, deal. No, you go and you barter, you move around. So I'm with Marquise Pouncey. If you're looking for a more nuanced take on the offer, Aaron Rodgers says the value of our players and the strength of the Players Association can only be realized if we ourselves know and believe in our worth. That's a message to the younger guys saying, look, it seems like a great deal, $100 million divided up. Your young guys aren't making the money we're making. But for the guys that have established themselves, that top 10%, there's no value to this deal.
Now, some of the rank-and-file players see the value. That's the part of this that I find very interesting, is because you're having some dissension inside the players when it comes to that. Devin Kennard said, when the 17th game was originally brought up by the owners, with our negotiations, our player reps asked ourselves, what would the deal have to be to include a 17th game? I got feedback from as many guys. All reps did the same. And basically, a significant bump in minimum salaries, which is something we talked about earlier, an increased percentage for the benefits as well. Minimum salaries make a significant increase. By 2029, the minimum salaries will be more than $1 million. So the guys on the lower end, which is about 60% of the league.
Right.
That is the part of this that I think might put this over the top before the play.
But here's the thing, Will. By 2029, the NBA gross could be $25 billion. Right. Okay, right now, they're going to – we don't even have the numbers this year. They haven't even, we don't have it out there. The only way we can figure out how much the NFL makes is when the Packers get their financials, because the Packers are publicly owned. Remember, everyone trades in shares of the Packers. You're a team, you know, if you're a team, a fan, you're a part owner of the team. So that's how we can ever extrapolate how much money the team's got paid out. We're guesstimating right now for this year, the NFL made anywhere from $16 to $19 billion gross, and the net can be anywhere from $10 to $11 billion. So even though it sounds great for those guys you're talking about on the lower end of the payroll, you are selling yourself short in the long term. And that's what Aaron Rodgers eloquently said, and Pouncey not as eloquently was saying. It seems great in the short term, but the NFL is printing money. The top 50 TV shows are NFL games. This league is bulletproof. It's Kaepernick-proof. It's bulletproof.
I know $5 million a year sounds like a lot of money, but I have to pay 10% to my agent, 5% to my lawyer. I have child support.
Do you have any idea what insurance costs in the Ferrari mother...
Again, that was from the Raiders locker room right there. Actually, that's from the Replacements, by the way. But gotcha. I think we said this to start the week in the conversation about this. He's actually out in Vegas on Friday. To the average guy out there who's making, you know, what he's making and trying to cover the mortgage and put his kids save up for college, it sounds like the unreality of the NFL reality. But it's still, there's no reason why the NFL player should sign this deal. No way.
And the other part of this, and you mentioned the pensions and you mentioned the medical care, there are plenty more people who come out of the league struggling. They're struggling when it comes to medical bills, struggling when it comes to their not getting pensions, and struggling also from the fact that they just don't make the kind of money that the guys like the Aaron Rodgers and the J.J. Watts and guys on the top end make. So it is up to them, I think, to try and get the most that they possibly can for themselves. But the problem is they're short-sighted enough to think, oh, they see another game check. That's a big deal for them.
If I'm the players, the guy hit me up on the text line, goes, well, what are you holding out for, Mike? Well, I'm trying to hold out for 49%. That's what I'm holding out for. And the new TV deals aren't even signed yet.
Right.
And the reason why, and this is why there's a sense of urgency. The NFL owners grandstanding would look, you guys, $100 million more. Let's roll. And that equals out to $58,000 for the 1,700 players. If it's less, that's not like 1/4 of a game check for a guy making $5 million.
Jump change.
So it sounds great. But the owners just want to lock this in so they can back up the Brinks trucks and get the money from Fox and NBC and all the streaming services they're gonna be bilking.
My biggest thing, too, is that I don't know where the benefit comes when it comes to the playing of the game itself when you have a 17th game built in there. I fear that you're going to have certain teams that try to use this and manipulate this, maybe a load management type of thing. And I understand they're getting rid of one preseason game. In my mind, you really only need two of them. So if you're going to sit there and say you are worried about losing the gate, having the 20 dates, if you will, I don't understand what exactly you're losing. It's so short-sighted, and it's all based on money. And the other part of this, too, is, again, you can't preach to me, we are very big on player safety, if you're coming out and getting another opportunity for you to get hurt.
Well, I mean, look at the percentage of money that's spent on the helmets. I mean, the NFL does a great job of showing you these, you know, there's this public service announcements. Heads up football, kids. And they're spending like 0.01% of their gross on safety. You can look it up. We've talked about this before. So either way, guys, you know what I'd love to see the NFL do? Invest in officials so the game is actually officiated properly. Mm-hmm. Not have these guys that are weekend warriors, those actually have full-time refs, lock them in a box like a veal, make them watch film all year round. That's one aspect of it. Player safety is a joke. They don't care about it. It's window dressing. And the players, I think, now also realize another thing, Will, because the NFL does not care about player safety. I'm only going to play to my second contract. We're seeing more and more guys tap out before they're 32. So that's another reason for these guys to not be short-sighted. You've got to make the max dollars in the 7 or 8 years you're playing football.
You mentioned the officiating. I'm surprised that in this new CBA, we haven't seen some of those innovative things that were part of the XFL, some of the stuff like the review.
Well, that's
stuff.
Something the competition committee, that'll be something that'll maybe even as early as this year. We'll talk to Rich McKay about that when we get the opportunity. But, you know, there's things in the XFL which, from a broadcast standpoint, I could totally see the NFL adopting.
Exactly. And, again, this will be something that is going to be put up to the full player vote coming up here in the next couple of days. They say it needs a simple majority of the around 2,000 NFL players, so we'll see if that ends up coming to pass.
I heard Randy McMichael talking about it earlier, and you know, from the player standpoint. The younger guys, they see it right now, the dollar signs are flashing, but the big picture. Now, if you're going to get in there and get out 3 years, the average NFL career is what, 3.1 or 3.2, whatever, months? you've got to look at the big picture and bet on yourself. And that's what Aaron Rodgers was saying.
V103 Live, guys, is back Saturday, March the 28th at State Farm Arena, featuring a big night of hip-hop starring Lil Baby, Da Baby, Wale, and more. Tickets on sale at all Ticketmaster outlets. More information, the event page, 929thegame.com.
What's next, Will?
Puffy K in the house.
Oh, early editions. We're up in Music City. We'll talk to the Hawks CEO about a great night last night down there at State Farm.
Check in with the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. This is Catching Up with Koonin on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is our man, Puffy K, brought to you by Kumho Tires, and a great night last night. And unfortunately, the outcome, not what we're looking for, but a great night as we were able to salute veterans, both active and their families and guys that have already done the job. And, Steve, it was a great night, crowning courage at State Farm. What a cool idea to have folks in the really, really good seats. Give them up for the guys and the girls who really earned it.
Yeah, this is our fourth year partnering with Crown Royal. And we make a big ask of our floor seat holders. We ask them to donate their seats to deserving veterans. And I think we had 123 seats donated yesterday. And it was unbelievable to see some of these women and men who have served this country being able to take in an NBA game on the front row, on the floor, enjoying the Delta Club and all the I think the best experience in sport is sitting on the floor at an NBA game. So it was our way of giving back and honoring them. And when I say our way, really our seats and ticket holders, and they're the ones who deserve all the credit.
Real fun thing about this, Steve, is the fact that I think this is something that Andrew was telling us last night, is that other NBA teams have kind of picked up this and taken it and ran with it?
Yeah, there is the one thing about the NBA, while we compete on the court, we're partners off the court. And another one of our programs that's taking place this February, Black History Month, is there is a real discrepancy in prostate cancer victims. African-American men are twice as likely to get prostate cancer as Caucasian men. So in February, we partner with the Prostate Cancer Foundation and our friends at Emory Healthcare, and we've run a very big, vigorous campaign to urge men to go get checked. And also, we want to assist prostate cancer, so every assist on the court during the month of February, we give $250,000, which at the end of the month is going to be a significant contribution, and hopefully we can get rid of prostate cancer, which not only affects men, but really affects African-American men.
It is Steve Koonin and Puffy K with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. A little early today, so we're going to be up in Nashville in a shorter show. We'll be kicking off the soccer season with United, and you'll hear Mike Conte and Jason Longshore on from 5 to 7 with an extra stoppage time. All right, big guy, you're a TV guru. For those who don't know Steve's background in the Coca-Cola company, then lots of years at Turner with TNT and TBS. We were talking about the NFL and how this contract's going to get done or not get done. I was reading something today in USA Today, and they were saying, Steve, that the next NFL contract – it could be, 25 to 30% over what they're doing now, which is $5 billion a year.
So I think it'll be significantly higher than that.
Wow. So the players should probably hold out for then.
No, because the percentage isn't going to slide and change. 48%, the pie gets bigger. When the pie gets bigger, everybody wins. So in collective bargaining agreements are incredibly complicated, complex pieces, but revenue is a big piece, and the NFL is in the best position of any sports league globally for TV revenue because they sell it only national. There's no such thing as local television in the NFL.
And the other thing, too, Steve, is that we were talking about the split between the players and the owners, and this is something that the NBA kind of had, the 50-50 split, and then you guys kind of took some of that back. There's a real fine line when it comes to trying to making sure that everybody kind of gets what they want, and a lot of these discussions, usually someone's going to be ticked off a little bit.
Well, just not trying to correct, but we at the NBA, we are at 50.1 for the players.
Right.
It was higher, and it leveled to 50.1
right.
to 49.9. And, again, every sport's different, but rising tide lifts all boats has never been more true,
right.
especially in the NFL when all of their revenue is combined into the same pot. They are truly a national sport, where we're a combination of international, local, and national, with a key piece of local.
And that's the thing, Steve, we had talked about, you know, the overhead. You could argue there's a lot more overhead for the NFL owners because everything from how much manpower, staffing, you know, the stadium, the whole shebang. But, I mean, it's do you ever think we'll see a day? NHL's like at 50-50 right now. I mean, I know NBA is going to give some, the players going to give some back on the next deal.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't want to speculate about the next deal because it's 5 years away. But what I do know is that the valuation of NBA teams, the last two, Brooklyn and Houston, have been higher than the last valuation of the last sale, the Charlotte Panthers. And so the international piece of the NBA is really a big driver of the value of the league and of revenue of the league that, of course, the players are entitled to because they're help driving that value, especially, you know, the international players are certainly helping.
We're talking with Steve Kunin, of course, from the Atlanta Hawks. This is something that I think is also interesting, Steve, because I think the one thing when it comes to value of franchises, you talk about the value in the NBA of these personalities. This is a personality-driven sport. When will you guys start to see the dividends on having a superstar like a Trae Young for some of these other franchises that might not necessarily have the brand recognition, but because of the fact that you have a superstar, he's driving up the value of that brand?
Well, I mean, candidly, we're seeing it right now. We have, you know, two games this weekend that are virtually sold out for a team that, you know, his record is a losing record. And like you said last night, Mike, you captured it really well. We were just voted number one of all teams in the NBA for game experience. And that's the collective word today. It's the game experience. It's coming to the game. It's the food. It's the beverage. It's the vibe. It's the seats. It's all the different things to do in the arena combined with a pretty fun form of basketball. And I was listening to Sports Blast, and Lloyd was talking about some of the defensive cracks last night, which is true, but 250 points were scored. And for the fans, it's fun and great viewing, but we have bigger aspirations than to be entertaining. We want to be a championship team.
And that's the thing, because we've talked so much about Trae, and Trae gave a tremendous effort. He was not even close to 100%. Trae banged up with the flu, and then he sort of, you know, sort of missing some shots, but also still getting after it with Mo Bamba. So, you know, he was not, no quitting Trae. But, man, we got to start playing some defense. Oh, my God.
We will. You know, we had Deadman out. Clint hasn't played yet. So, you know, unfortunately, like I said, I think this year, with John missing 25 games, hopefully the March and April we'll have a complete roster playing together, and you'll get a, we'll all get a peek into the future. So, Mike, I've got one for you.
Yes.
Next week is a big week for sports gambling in Georgia.
I know.
I would enlist you and all of our listeners and your fans and people who indulge me and my 5 minutes a week on the radio,
mm-hmm.
you know, to let your legislators know that you're in favor of mobile sports gambling. We're getting down to the wire, and it's something that we needed to take out of the dirty closet of Mike Bell and bring into the sunlight.
I'm telling you, when we're out in Vegas, the ability, if you can't make it to the sports book, to just have an MGM app, for instance, and, you know, pop that, get your score, get your game in. It's simple. It's easy. We're talking about budget cuts almost every week in the AJC at the State House. And to me, the revenue you generate, it's such a no-brainer.
Well, that's why we're in favor. It's not like it's not happening. You know, when we have conversations of casino and horse track, that's not happening in Georgia. But sports gambling's happening every day.
How close are we, Steve, to getting to a point where we have it like in Europe, where you have betting windows inside the arenas?
We don't want that. We want everything to be mobile.
Got it.
Yeah, they want it on the phone.
To be mobile.
Yeah, and again, we're in the Bible Belt, so it's going to be a slow roll on this one. But I mean,
I don't think so. I think that if we can get people really paying attention and talking, I think we can get this done this year. You know, and I'll be down at the State House on Tuesday testifying. How scary is that?
Wow. I can't wait to see that.
Well, come on down. Bring some friends.
I want to hear Puffy K. You're out of order. This whole system is out of order.
I'm going to behave. Are you kidding?
I cannot recall. That's just
no. He's lobbying. Now you're a lobbyist.
I'm an advocate.
Yes.
I am an advocate. Let the people do what they want to do, and let's get it regulated, and let's get it taxed. And that way, when Mike talks about gambling on the show, I don't have to pretend I don't know what he's talking about.
Exactly. I heard what Steve's motto, if it feels good, do it. I love it, Steve. Great job.
I'm not sure how you twisted something so pure and so clean into something so dirty. But why should the last 20 years have been a total waste?
Right on. Great job, y'all, last night, Steve. Thanks again for coming on, brother.
All right, guys. Be well, and thanks for having me at 23 hours early.
That's our guy, Steve Kuhn and Puffy K, brought to you by Kubo Tires. And again, right to your local state representative. Steve's not messing around here. The teams are behind this. There's money to be made. We've already got the lottery. We've already got scratch-off tickets, okay? And I know this offends people when I say it. We're already a little pregnant when it comes to gambling in the state. So why don't we have the ability to have a casino? I want horse racing. I want Biff's World downtown. I want it all, man. But it starts with an app on your phone. It's so simple. These idiots under the Gold Dome should be able to figure it out.
Crawl before we can walk.
Steve would like to distance himself from those last comments I just made about our state legislature.
Mobile betting first, then we can get the horse racing.
Hey, man, we're live inside the Kia studios. This hour of the show brought to you by Kia. Go to KiaDealers.com. When we come back, I've got a nightmare scenario for you. How about one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and one of the best running backs in recent memory on the same team in the NFC South?
Ugh. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.